Hello and welcome to Interactive Distractions, episode number 367. My name is Christopher Riccio. I got it right this time. I was pretty happy about that. And I'm here with Travis Baum.
I'm proud of you. Good job.
Oh, thanks. And that's it.
Just me
and Travis.
Just us.
It's going to be a short show. We're not going to do our feature yet because I kind of posted the game. Posted the show a little late last week because, well, I mean, essentially I worked all weekend last weekend. So, yeah, it's kind of sucked. But so we're going to do this like a quicker show, and we'll leave the question of the week out there for another week, and we'll let you guys answer it. And we'll go from there. But today we're going to do some distractions, some news, new releases, and then we'll go over the question of the week once again. Before that happens, let's see what's happening this week. Travis, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, man? So there has been, some huge transitions and everything. I won't dig into it really, really deeply. There's still a lot of hands to be shaken and signatures to be signed and whatnot, but there's been a transition. I will no longer be at the company that I have been for the last 13-14 months. It was kind of stressful. I haven't really even told anyone about it. I told you guys,
us, yeah, that was it.
My wife, obviously, that's pretty much it. I haven't even really gone to family about it. I didn't want to worry or concern people. I'll be leaving the company that I'm currently at, but it was kind of a split that I think both sides are going to leave with smiles on our faces, good things to say about each other. And it worked out, but the transition has become complete this week. There's an opportunity that sprouted up, and it's something that's, it's still in the video industry, and it's video centric. So it's not having to deal with video plus digital marketing and websites and stuff like that. It's actually something that the company does, just video and nothing but video. It's going to give me the opportunity to learn more. They have a lot of really good equipment. So my knowledge of video is going to be growing a lot more. So I'm really excited about that. And sometimes they just make stuff for fun, just to put it on, you know, their social media and say, hey, look at the stuff we can do. So I'm really excited to be able to spread my wings.
Cool.
With that. So that's really exciting. But, you know, something like this, you know, a job transition could, especially when leaving a place kind of comes unexpectedly, it can be a super, super stressful experience for people. But, the first couple of nights were rough, stressing, what do I do? What do I do? Constant thinking. I think it's normal for, you know, a human being. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Chris, but I think it's normal for a human being to just constantly think and have 1,000 thoughts go through their head. And then it can lead to a lot of stress. Cause your brain's kind of in freak out mode. That's kind of like I would think a normal reaction. But it is, I had a lot of good support from Megan, and she was able to, you know, really help me out with stuff. She introduced me to some really, really cool stuff. For instance, and this sounds weird at first. I am not, dude, I am not like, I've never been into like, Eastern type of, like mental health practices or like homeopathic medicines or anything like that. That's just never been, I'm kind of like a guy's guy when it comes to stuff like that. Like, I don't need that. I'll eat my feelings and I'll go forward with it. Kind of like that thing. I'm kind of my father's son when it comes to situations like that. But I think a lot of guys are. But you know, she kind of introduced me to like some really neat and highly recommended like essential oils. That's this craze is kind of picking up a little bit. It's like all natural oils.
You can Crystal's got a ton of them.
It's amazing. You can rub it on your pillow and breathe better at night.
Essential oils.
Yeah, it's great. It's fantastic.
You've got quite a bit.
Yeah. It's fantastic. So she introduced me to that, but at the same time, at night I've been going to bed. I haven't been on PlayStation very late the last few nights because A, I've been trying to go to bed a little bit earlier to be a little more refreshed in the morning so I can focus on the task at hand, finding like a solid replacement for my previous job. And it kind of worked because on top of going to bed early, we were doing these these 20-minute meditations, just clearing your mind before we go to sleep, listening to the words, like kind of like some Deepak Chopra type stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you what, it is a really, really refreshing practice for clearing your head before you go to bed, and you wake up and you're just a completely different person. Like you wake up and you have no thoughts. Cause sometimes when I'm in freak out mode, I'll go to bed and I'll wake up and I'm right back in the freakout mode. Like, oh my God, what do I do? I'm so overwhelmed.
I'll be honest with you. That's one of those things, man. I have a lot of trouble with that because, and that's one of the reasons that I actually prefer to fall asleep with the TV on. So like I'll set a sleep timer and I'll fall asleep with the TV on because if it's not on, then I've got like a million things racing around in my head and I can't get to sleep, dude. It screws me up. And I will straight up go insomnia on, if I don't have something in the background to help me fall asleep. If I, and God forbid I wake up at like 3-4 o'clock in the morning, I can't get back to sleep after that.
No, not at all.
And that's one of the reasons that I've never been someone who goes to bed early because if I go to bed early, I wake up early and then I can't go back to sleep.
So exactly. It's I'm exactly the same way. And I have an addictive personality. So I, especially with video games, I can make the excuse it's my favorite hobby. So I like to do it a lot. When I'm stressed, I use it as a crutch big time. So it was really, really refreshing to spend 2 or 3 nights in a row just focusing on going to bed early, clearing my thought, doing these meditations with Megan. And it really, really helped out. Now we're not like sitting like Indian style in our bed going like home. It's just, you just have someone calmly speaking to you. Like it's almost like hypnosis. It really is. Like it's kind of that. And I'm very susceptible to hypnosis because I know hypnosis kind of sort of is a sham, but the way my brain is wired, I eat it up. Like I've funny story. Okay. So there used to be a craze, mature hypnotist entertainers and stuff like that, where they'll hypnotize 5 or 6 people on stage and they'll make them do wacky, like really, really explicit stuff and sometimes sexual stuff. It was big on the casinos, like it was big casino shows, like on the Mississippi Gulf Coast, to have a hypnotist come in and make, people do like really sexual stuff and everything like that. It's funny as shit, but I would always volunteer thinking it was horse shit. Or at least the first time I did. And guess what? Travis was right under. Right under. I think I grinded on like an 80-year-old woman one time. I'm serious. Like, I did some shit in these shows. So I did it again
If only there were camera phones more prevalent at that time.
Well, check it. I did. Okay. I've done it twice. I went on stage twice because the first time I didn't believe in it. The second time I just was curious if it could be done again. And then the third time we had someone in our group go up. I was sitting at my table because they dim the lights when he's going through the hypnosis stage for people. And once they dim the lights and the guys, he has to sit there for like 10 minutes putting these people under. So you're also in the dark in the audience. What happens when he snaps his fingers? Travis at the table drops. I didn't even have to be on stage. I was under. Like, I just allowed myself to have him, this stranger take the reins. Very. So the meditation, I opened up naturally to it. So it really helped out a lot. I had an interview and we sat and talked for about 1.5 hours. We had great emails afterwards. Just, they really truly feel they're a new company 6 months in, but they have a lot of, they have a really great portfolio just in 6 months. I like the work they do. It's really high quality. And, they feel that, we're all each other's missing link. Cause I can do sales, business development on top of the video production, the filming, the editing aspect of it, audio. It's a great situation for everybody and I'm really excited to start. So my last day is August 7th with my current company. And then after that I start with this new one. I'm really, really excited to jump into it, man. It's an exciting time. So yeah. What about you? You said you worked all weekend, so I know yours.
I was going to add to your stuff real quick just because, my first job out of college, I worked for IBM and I was there 1.5 years and, this is going out for everybody who's, getting into their professional life and, whether it be a big company or a small company, things happen. And, the first job I ever had, the first year that I was at IBM, I sat on the bench. I mean, I didn't have anything to do because I was a college hire and it's hard to get projects as a college hire. Cause I mean, basically IBM Global Services was, a big group of consultants and back at, in the early 2000s.
Okay. That's what I was going to ask. Were you an actual like salaried employee?
I was a salaried employee. Okay. But the thing is that my services were consulted out from IBM. So everything was all about utilization. How much of your salary is the client paying, right?
Exactly.
So, like the first year, nothing. I was on the bench all year, right? I did my due. I got to the point where they did raises and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I had gone through some training. I went and got like a Microsoft development certification, through this like month long boot camp that they did. So I got like a 5% raise, which is pretty good. The next year, I started getting onto projects. So I started on this project, started on that project, and the next review time came along, and I got my review. I was heavily utilized. 12.5% was my raise. It was incredible. Then they start talking about layoffs, and I'm like, I should be okay, right? I mean, I'm actually utilized over 100%.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
I was literally, they were literally getting more out of clients than paying my salary, because I was working on one project. It was a 410. So I would actually travel. I went to Mobile, Alabama. Hooray.
Beautiful country. It was, by the way.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Beautiful.
4 days, 10 days, 10 hours a day, right? So I came back on Thursday night. Then Friday, I went into the office and I had a different project that I was working on. So I was actually putting in about 48 hours a week, and they had two different, you know, clients that were paying my salary. So I was over 100% utilized. So I was turning in my utilization sheet, and it was like, you know, 110%, 112%, whatever. And I got laid off. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, so you just cannot expect that you are safe anywhere, because, you know, even if you think it, you should always think about what's going to happen if that does happen.
Exactly.
You
know? It's always like you should always have that resume.
You should always have
always
a little
have
bit.
That resume
you
set
should
up.
Always have your resume updated. You should always have a plan of how you're going to how you're going to do it. And I happened to just get lucky, because I was working on a project at IBM at the time. After they laid me off, that client actually hired me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, you've been doing most of the work. Why don't you just come hot and work for us? And I'm like,
okay. That's excellent.
And, you know, that's a really good position to be in, because I was able to say, you know, well, you know, this is I basically got like a $12,000 raise, and they were still paying less for my services. Right.
Right.
So, you know, you can always make, And you know, it's also being in the right place at the right time. So it's not, you got to have a little bit of luck on your side. And
yeah,
I've been pretty lucky in my career, I'll be honest with you. But, mm-hmm. You know,
but that's
you can
exactly
always
what
turn,
happened.
Yeah, you can always turn a bad situation into a good one, mm-hmm. if you look at it the right way and you're willing to put in the effort to do it.
Yeah, you got to focus, you got to work hard for it. But that's exactly what happened to me, man. Like I a month ago or a month and a half ago, I received about a 15% raise.
Yeah.
So I was on cloud nine, ready to, I mean, and nothing makes you want to work harder than just receiving a raise. So like I'm feeling good, I'm pumped, I'm enthusiated. And then yeah, like a month later.
Enthusiated?
Enthusiastical.
Enthusiastical.
Whatever.
These are the Travis words. I love it. Enthusiastic.
I was enthused.
You're enthusiastic.
I was enthused.
what was the one that said, oh, that's right. The reason you say on the reg is because you have trouble saying regularly.
Regularly.
I love you, bro. It's awesome.
It's hard to say. It's a hard word.
No, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway. Yeah, this week's been pretty rough for me, but, you know, during, And I'll get to part of this. I'll get to the part of this probably in distractions, because I think it belongs there. During the weekend when I literally put in, you know, more than two full days of work,
right.
I did get a little time to break out of that and do other things. I didn't do any gaming over the weekend as far as video games, but my wife and I did get a chance to go see Terminator. I'm sorry, I didn't think it was as bad as everybody's making out to be. I thought it was all right. I mean, this is the way I'm looking at it. They're basically trying to do with Terminator what they did with Star Trek. So they're trying to
allow for two separate realities, basically.
Exactly.
Right?
They're trying to make a new timeline, but, and still keep the old timeline canon. That's kind of what they're trying to do. And I think there are a few loopholes, of course. I mean, it's time travel. There's always paradox bullshit and, you know, plot holes and stuff like that. But I think they're okay. I think they succeeded in it. There's a couple of things that I'm annoyed with about the movie. And, you know, that's going to happen based on, you know, they actually, first of all, they gave away like half the plot in the trailer.
I mean,
that was rough. But overall, have you seen it?
I have not seen it, no. But I thought it was good. I've heard a lot of negative things.
I know, and you're going to hear a lot of negative things. But I would say don't stray away from the movie. Maybe not see it in the theaters if you don't feel that strongly about it. But don't stray away from watching the movie when it's available to you, because it was a lot of action. I thought they did a pretty good job on the story and how they pieced everything together. The only problem was John Connor and the bullshit they showed off in that trailer. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was, but I think that one of the things that, I can't really talk about it because it's kind of a spoiler, but I think they were trying to like rip themselves away from a certain piece of the storyline that was that's in the canon. They're trying to pull away from that and move to something different, you know, in the future. Like they're supposed to be talking about this movie is the start of a trilogy, of new movies. And it's also a possibility of starting a new TV series. I think they're trying to move away from that. It's hard to say if they're going to continue because, you know, there's a lot of back and forth on whether they're going to move on because, I mean, they made money on the movie. They made $300 million on the movie at least. And it was less than $200 to make it.
How was Amelia Clark as Sarah Connor?
God, I fucking love her, man. She's awesome.
I mean, I love her too, but I mean, that's another. I think she was a good fit.
I think she's a good fit personally. Okay. Not only because she kind of looks the part, but you know, anybody who watches Game of Thrones, they already have that badass, you know, view of her in their back, mm-hmm. in the back of their head. That might actually be tainting my view a little bit, but I thought she did a great job. I thought it was good.
You have to remember too. I mean, the Sarah Connor that Amelia Clarke is playing is Terminator 1 Sarah Connor. Terminator 1 Sarah Connor, Linda Hamilton's not that great in it. It's until Terminator 2 where she kind of comes out of her shell and becomes the iconic Sarah Connor that everyone loves.
And one of the things that came up on a forum that I'm a part of is that one of the dudes that watched it, he didn't like that Amelia Clarke didn't look the part of Sarah Connor, but he was comparing her, like you said, he was comparing her to Sarah Connor from part two. And I kind of explained it to him. I was like, look, so this timeline, Sarah Connor has been preparing since she was 9 years old, but think about the way that the human body works. I mean, the human body doesn't really start putting on muscle mass until your teenage years. And it's even later for women. So to expect Amelia Clarke to have, to be a Sarah Connor that looks like the woman who's 28, 29 years old in part two, that's not really feasible because mm-hmm. the human body doesn't work that way. And, you know, it kind of made sense to him that way. But you know, I think that from a perspective of who she's playing, she kind of looks the part and she did a good job. Yeah. I mean, I think.
I'm not afraid to admit this, but I'll be honest with you. I've actually put myself in situations to enjoy almost pretty much every Terminator movie that's ever been released because I've seen them all. Obviously Terminator 1 and 2, timeless. They're really great movies.
Absolutely.
I mean, even Terminator 1, even though it's very, very 80s, it holds up, I think, as a narrative. So it's really good. Now, the ones that are very, very divisive or mostly negative, you got Terminator 3, you got the Christian Bale one, and of course this one's extremely divisive as well. But, I saw all those movies after reading reviews, so I had realistic expectations set after hearing what people already said.
If that is the case, I will tell you this. I enjoyed this movie more than the previous two.
Okay. I like 3. I'll say it. I liked 3. I think it ended well. I think it had a decent story. You know, Nicholas Stahl, is that his name, who played John Connor?
Oh, I don't remember.
I think it's Nicholas Stahl. I thought he fared very well as John Connor. I think he did a really, really good job. Some corny in some spots, but it's Terminator. It's sci-fi. You got to have a little bit of cornball situations. I mean, Terminator 2 even has some very cornball situations when Edward Furlong is teaching Arnold to be more human. It's like stand on one leg, hop around. I mean, it's super, super corny for a serious action sci-fi horror movie. You know, it's it has that. So,
part three had two things going for it. And their names are Christina Loken and Claire Danes. So that's where it was for me. So
Christina Loken was hot. She was.
Yeah, she was. Especially when she first showed up and she was naked. I was like, okay, all right, there you go.
Is that all you see? Just flesh, Chris?
Yeah.
Come on, man. Is. It's 2015. They're more than just amazing boobs and butts.
No, oh no, of course not.
But, of course not. This is a video game content.
And I mean, she's to be fair, she's perfect for that part because she's kind of a horrible actor. She needs to just not say anything.
She deadpans the entire thing. Yeah.
Yeah. She needs to look good and beat people up. That was her job and she did a good job of it.
Very great job of that. Yeah.
And Claire Danes, I just think is adorable. So
I love Claire Danes. She's great. She's great in Homeland too. If you haven't catched that joint.
I haven't actually.
Yeah. She's amazing on Homeland. She's pretty good. Yeah.
All right. Okay. Let's see what else. Besides that, and what I will talk about a little bit later, that's pretty much it. It's been a lot of work this week. Should be hopefully, I'm not going to say slowing down, but it should be more manageable, in the near future, trying to get things wrapped up and into our user acceptance testing phase. So, hopefully that will all be work swimmingly well and we'll go from there.
Cool.
But for the time being, let's talk about a little bit about some games.
Yeah.
What do you got this week?
All right. It's been an adventure game kick for me.
Okay. So King's Quest. I know you've been playing that.
Yeah, King's Quest is pretty good. I got a little frustrated. I thought I fell into like a game breaking situation where I may have picked the wrong item and just completely unable to continue in a story up to the point where I thought I would have to. Restart and start fresh and pick the right choice, from where I originally was. But, in my mind's like, well, it's a King's Quest game. That happens. You'll miss an item. You'll play for 3 hours, find out you fucked up and you have to find a save. That wasn't the case. The answer was painfully obvious and I had, and it worked out fine. King's Quest is, it is an ambitious title. It's still published by Sierra, which is, I'm not sure if Activision still owns them or if they're Vivendi. I'm not really sure, but, it was taken over. Well, at its genesis, when we found out about it, was when Roberta Williams at the Video Game Awards received like a Lifetime Achievement Award for the King's Quest series and among other titles like Phantasmagoria, Mystery House, and stuff. So, she introduced the developers, the creative lead for the dev team, The Odd Gentleman, and they came out and said, look, expect more information, and we started to see some concept art. It looked really good, very King's Quest-y, but you still didn't kind of know what to expect. You know, is it going to feel like King's Quest? We know it wasn't going to play exactly like King's Quest. There's a reason that genre back in the 80s and 90s died out, and, you know, we don't see it very much anymore. But we knew that there was going to be some sort of evolution a la Telltale Games, what Don't Nod does with Life is Strange. And they do have those evolutions there, but, at its heart, it is very, very much a King's Quest game. You do have branching storylines, you do have, different options of speech, when you're talking to various NPCs that can change the way the game plays. Certain characters will give you a different nickname. Like Megan's playing it right now. There are characters that call her certain nicknames that they don't call me that in my game, which is really cool. There's little nice touches to kind of let you craft your own experience. So that's there. The idea of you have this kind of not open world, but you have this vast map and it's all about, you know, finding an item and then locating where that item's going to be used at. And you stumble upon an area you can't continue, until you continue the story and you finally get the item you need to go further in that new area. So it's very King's Quest in that matter. You got a full inventory system. So like I said, the feel of King's Quest is there in the gameplay, but it really, really shines in the presentation. You have this gorgeous, very Disney-esque look to the game. I mean, every time you play it and you see new facial animations, different cutscenes play through, it does feel like something that would be out of Pixar, or even more so in like old-school Disney animation. So I really appreciate the style they went for. And the presentation even shines a little brighter on the voice acting cast. In recent releases, since the adventure game craze has evolved and has spread like wildfire the last few years, no game has gotten such a stellar all-star cast of people. And the cherry on top on this one is Christopher Lloyd.
Yeah, I've been hearing about that. He still plays the narrator, right?
So exactly.
That's pretty awesome to bring him back for that role.
Exactly. So the main character in the King's Quest series for the majority of the series has been King Graham. You know, he's kind of the patriarch of the entire story. Other King's Quest games, you played as the daughter. You played as Alexander in 6. But King Graham's always been kind of the center. He's always been kind of there. At this point in the game, he's an old man. He's, you know, seemingly on his deathbed, and he's telling his stories. And instead of kind of rebooting the series and telling the stories we already know, it's the parts of Graham's life that take place before and in between the previous King's Quest games that we've already have. So chapter 1, after you get through the prologue, which kind of reenacts something from the first King's Quest game, it goes into a teenage, like 16, 17-year-old Graham going to Daventry for the first time and trying to become a knight. He's never been here. It's a foreign land. And it's kind of like a small coming of age, you know, 4 or 5 hour story of the early days of King Graham. And it's phenomenal. But it's got great characters, really great artwork for the different types of monsters. Obviously it's like super, super fantasy. So you have, you know, bridge trolls, you have weird little animals running around. Yeah. I mean, you have all these wacky human characters and non-human characters. It's a blast to play, man. It's really good. And there are some frustrating things. At the end of the day, you got to know it's a King's Quest game. You're going to run into some brick walls, some puzzles that are going to frustrate the shit out of you. But they do give you, they've opened it up. Like I said, adventure games have evolved from brutal, definitely going to die. You can't move anymore. You got to reload a save. Into that, there's always a way out of the situation that you're currently in. So that's welcome, obviously. It ends kind of on a flat note. Usually that's kind of like my one real big gripe with it. Adventure games of recent have really, really, you know, dropped you with a really awesome cliffhanger or just kind of like a really, really poignant situation to kind of like make you really anxious for the next episode to release in a month or two. But this one kind of doesn't. It just kind of falls flat and rolls the credits. So I can't say I'm like dying for the next episode of King's Quest, but I do want it because the Odd Gentlemen have created a really, really genuine world that's very honest to what Roberta and Ken Williams had made for King's Quest. I loved it. I really did. Aside from a few frustrations. But other than that, I mean, you're going to have to expect that in a King's Quest.
Yeah, you have been on this adventure game kick big time for the past few months, especially.
Man, it's no secret. I just love being told a story. Yeah. I don't read as much. I wish I did because I just love experiencing new worlds, new characters, new stories. And when video games can deliver what I like, there's more gameplay, actual physical gameplay in King's Quest than in other adventure games, which is kind of cool. But it's just weird that I just like sitting in front of my TV and just be told a story. Give me a couple of decisions here and there, but I just want to, you know, enjoy it.
Cool.
I played a little bit of The Vanishing of Ethan Carter. I kind of just jumped the gun. I saw some good reviews on that. You know, kind of have a feeling of gone home. It's $20. It's one of the few times I feel like maybe $10 would have been a good price for this.
Really?
But yeah, it's okay. You know, so it's kind of like a large area. You're some detective trying to find out what happened to this kid, Ethan. And it's got a great ending to it and everything, but it just gets to a point where it's just not very interesting. Like Gone Home was in a much smaller venue, takes place in one house, had a great aesthetic to it. And Ethan Carter has such an amazing look to it. Graphically, it's phenomenal. I think it's actually one of the best looking things on the PS4 right now. I mean, if people are like big time graphics whores, definitely check it out. not for $20 though. Not for $20. Yeah. I just don't want to talk about it that much. It's a good game. It's got some really interesting puzzles. The way you solve the puzzles are very interesting. The way you're grouping together the clues and stuff like that. It's really interesting. But at the end of the day, $20, nah, probably not. $10 for sure. It's a no-brainer on PS Plus for free if it comes available. Which I can't imagine a game like this, because it's not very long, 5 hours tops. I can't imagine this not being free on PS Plus one day. So.
I'd imagine it'd be on sale at one point or another.
Oh, yeah, it has to be. It has to be. But
most of the adventure games that get kicked in, they go on sale eventually. So.
Yeah. So experience it, yeah, when it's cheaper or free. And then kind of like the, my favorite thing of this week, man, the penultimate episode of, Life is Strange dropped. And man.
Yeah,
it's
you were
good.
Big on this, man. You were saying that, like, Telltale got beat or something like that, right?
So. Yeah, I mean, Telltale does a hell of a job with taking existing IPs and just breathing life into a world that already exists. They're masters of it, and I don't think very many people can do it better than Telltale. But it makes me wonder, like, they do nothing but licensed stuff. It makes me wonder if Telltale would be able to do original content as well as Don't Nod does with Life is Strange.
Hmm.
Now, albeit episode 4 is probably one of the clumsiest episodes of Life is Strange. You know, the thing that makes Strange so great is because you have such a realistic and fantastic main character in Max Caulfield. She is... even as a guy playing as a girl character, you just kind of really get where she's coming from. You know, I've always kind of been introverted, and she is too. And you see a lot of these things that when she's interacting with these different stereotypical types of high school students, you remember this kind of stuff. You remember these types of people. Every character you meet in this game, it can immediately zip you back to someone you know in high school. and then stereotypes are stereotypes for a reason. Come on, who are we kidding? And the way she talks with them and deals with them, it's very easy to organically make these decisions of what to respond to these characters, because you can relate to the situation she's in, the people she's talking to. So that's why I love this series. And this one directly continues off of the gut punch that episode 3 ended on. And the first 15 minutes are just breathtakingly genuine. And some of the most honest storytelling that I've ever experienced in an adventure game to date. It's really fantastic. And then after that, they kind of, in a cheap way, remove the gut punch from the end of episode 3. And it kind of felt a little stale. And in the middle, like the middle of this episode, it's the pacing's on and off, like you're in one place and then you're directly in a new place, and like it doesn't give you time to absorb and, you know, absorb the decisions you made. And
yeah, it all sounds kind of jarring.
Exactly, it does. And then there's a situation, you know, it's the end of the series. You've gathered so much information about what's happening in this town and all this weird stuff that's going on with the school and this family that seems to run the town, and you get to the situation where you're gathering in, you know, all your clues, and it's a very, like, you know, you have a big, you know, whiteboard, and you have all your stuff taped to it, and you got to like gather all the clues and see what clues match with each other, and it's very clumsy, very clunky, very easily the worst part of the series. It wasn't terrible, but it's not the most interesting part of the series. So, like I said, it's very, very clumsy. Episode 4, but then you find out that this episode is bookended by two amazing scenes. Obviously that beginning scene that I mentioned, but at the end of this episode, you know, you thought the gut punch at the end of 3 is harsh. I mean, they really jack your jaw at the end of episode 4 to set you up for the finale. And, it's a stark contrast compared to King's Quest and the way King's Quest ended, to where I am dying. I am literally dying for episode 5. Hmm. I really, really need it in my life, like right now. I will stop podcasting and done. If I can play it right now, we would be done. It's fantastic. And Chris, you haven't really, so this is, that's all I've been playing, but I want to kind of segue into like asking this. I know Jeff's dabbling in it. He played a little bit of Borderlands and not much, a little bit of Game of Thrones, but not too much else. But you haven't jumped on this adventure game train very much. And no, I've never really asked, why is that?
Just not enough time. I've been playing other games. Destiny took up a lot of time.
Yeah. You know, each episode's like 2 hours, right?
Yeah, but I'm not the kind of person that likes to play a one episode and then wait. So I'm the kind of person that waits until all of them are out and tries to play. And then,
but that's where the time situation kicks in, because once you multiply those 2 or 3 hours by five,
now you're looking at 10.
You're looking
plus,
at
so. Yeah. Okay. And I got more than halfway through Walking Dead, but it just didn't hold my interest, because it didn't really. I mean, Walking Dead got to me because I felt like the decisions I was making never mattered, you know. So, and that's just we've had that conversation on the show before, and I'm not going to reiterate that, but that's just. It's just the way it kind of felt, the way that everything tied together. So, you know, it didn't, I know that these games are games that I would be interested in playing.
Sure.
It's just a matter of finding the time to do it. And right now with, you know, I finished up Batman last week. I want to go back and keep playing, Witcher, and I'd love to get back to Bloodborne as well. So it's just that, you know, there's other stuff going on and, other games that are more important to my, in my hobby.
Witcher may jump back into my life now that they announced that New Game Plus is going to be hopping in there. So,
Yeah,
that's going to be huge. So, but yeah, I mean, if I can give you any advice to take the time to sink into playing these, when it's done, Telltale's taking their sweet little time with fucking Borderlands, but it's been worth it every episode. So when Borderland completes, I say jump on that, because that's a fantastic, if not one of the best Telltale games out there right now.
Okay.
You know, in a couple of months, Life is Strange will be done. I would say, depending on what's available at the moment, definitely pick up Life is Strange, man. Like, just buy the season
right now.
Pass
it's like the games that are coming out this year that I know I'm still going to buy. Disney Infinity, obviously. Metal Gear is coming out soon after that, and then Destiny, and then Rock Band, and then Fallout. So there's still a few big chunk games that are coming out. So we'll see what happens. But it's not a situation where I'm avoiding these types of games. It's just that, you know, I just haven't put the time into them.
I actually jumped into a little bit of Metal Gear Solid Ground Zeroes today.
Yeah, I need to go back to that.
Well, we should, because, I mean, it's basically the same exact engine and gameplay of what we're going to be expecting. I mean, it's going to be more feature-rich in the Phantom Pain, but all I remember from playing Ground Zeroes is just struggling with the controls, finding it way, way harder, a bigger learning curve than previous Metal Gear Solids, and I'm like, I really want to be comfortable with Metal Gear. We are literally a month away. We're recording this on August 1st. So I really wanted to be comfortable with the control scheme, all the options, because all that's going to be extremely, extremely similar to Ground Zero. So I jumped into it today and just really focused on honing the control scheme, you know, learning guard placement, the way these open worlds are set up, and had a really, really successful time with it. I really did. I got a rating on the main story mission, so I felt really, really good about it. Beat it in 1 hour, which is a decent time for it. And had a really big blast for it, because I love Metal Gear. I am a fanboy to the day I die for some fucking Snake, but I was just uneasy about it because I wasn't gelling with Ground Zeroes as much. But after today, I feel a lot better about it. So definitely go back to it before September 1st, because
I do want to do that.
Yeah, definitely do it. It's a smart move.
Actually, since I haven't jumped back into Witcher, that might be the next thing I do.
Do it, man. It's a quick burn just to refresh you and get you ready for, you know, 30 days.
Yeah.
So. But yeah, that's it for me, man. What about you?
So Destiny, Banner's going on right now, so I've been playing a little bit of that. Same old there. I won't really go into too much detail, except for more Nightfall disappointment. Hooray.
No. But congratulations to our homie, Omir, Fichi
finally
Slugger.
Getting Hawk Moon.
Got his Hawk
Moon.
Which
means that I'm the only one left.
You're
doesn't
the
only
have
one. One. Let's see. Rocket League. Lots and lots of Rocket League.
Love it. Loving.
Having a lot of fun with that. I played the other night. Let's see. What was it? Wednesday? I think it was Wednesday. But we were playing, I was playing Banner with Ken, and all of a sudden I got an invitation from, Omer to play Rocket League. And I went over there and looked, and Jeff and Jason were in there, and I'm like, mm-hmm. Oh, well, look at that. And
it's so a no-brainer.
Infrequent, you know, how often I get to play games with both Jeff and Jason at the same time.
Right.
So I was like, all right, guys, I'm gonna bail. But yeah, that was a load of fun. We played a bunch of games. You know, that game, it's hard to explain exactly what it is about that game that makes it so fun, but I think it's just the fact that it's just weird. You know, you're driving cars around playing soccer.
How about the fact that it's just a well-made fucking game? It is the epitome of what a video game should be. Well-made, good physics, and fun.
It is.
In a great teamwork game.
And ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely
ridiculous. There's some really ridiculous stuff that goes on in that game. And,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I'll be the first to say that a lot of the stuff that I can do in that game revolves around some luck.
Luck.
there's no doubt in my mind. I suck at the game. I'll be honest with you. I'm not that good at it, but it is so much fun to play. And even when you're not playing well, you know, you're still having a good time. So, you know, if you have not picked, well, actually, it might be. Is it too late? I think it's too late to pick it up for free now.
The new stuff has come out already. We may have crossed the threshold, but, I mean, up until this time, it's had, what, 5 million downloads plus?
Did it? Wow, nice.
Huge.
You might have until Tuesday, so go.
Maybe.
Go see if you can download it, because, man, it is so much fun.
It's fantastic. Yeah. It's fantastic. It's so good.
Let's see. The only other thing I was going to mention, and this kind of goes back to my weekend. A lot of time we have some friends of ours that we spend time with quite often. Usually like once every other weekend or so, we'll get together and do like a board game night, that kind of thing.
Sure.
And we'll do like tabletop RPG, that kind of thing. Let me preface this. There's a website out there called Mass Drop. I don't know if you've ever heard of this place. But it's basically.
Didn't you talk about this last week?
Not on the show, I don't
not
think.
Not on the show.
But it's basically they get packages of mostly geek stuff. So like if you can go on there, you can say, you know, they'll have a Mass Drop for a Magic booster box, you know, 32 packs of Magic cards for, you know, $89 or whatever. And if you, that's where it starts. And then if like 10 people sign up, then it goes to $85 and then something like that. And it goes down as more people go mm-hmm. up to a final goal of whatever amount
right.
it is. Well, they had one for the Star Wars miniatures game, and I've been eyeing this thing, just kind of trying to determine whether or not I wanted to get into it. And
right.
they had a mass drop for the Star Wars miniature game. It came with the main set and like, I think it came with like six of the expansions and it was like $94. And if I tried to get it all on Amazon, it was like $125, $130.
Sure.
So that's good. And then if you want to go out and buy it from like a store, like or from Fantasy Flight's homepage, it's like more than that. It's like $150 or something like that. So,
mm-hmm.
So I picked up this Mass Drop and we played it with just one of the actual base set comes with two TIE fighters and an X-Wing. And it comes with a bunch of cards and pilots and different things like that. And you can put, and you decide how you're going to, like, you put together your squads and things like that. But this base set comes with scenarios that you can set up. And one of the scenarios is that you're escorting a senator's ship across the map, basically. And you have to get it from one side of the map to the other. It has to survive. So you're up against two TIE fighters. It's just you and an X-Wing. And it's just a Red Squadron pilot. It's not named. So they have pilots like Luke Skywalker, Wedge. So they have all the named pilots from Star Wars that you can put on, and they all have different abilities that they can do. But this one was basic. It was two Academy pilots from the TIE fighters and one Red Squadron pilot in the X-Wing. Very basic. No ability cards. Just simple. And the reason I'm mentioning it is because we kind of had this, you know, just learning how to play the game. It was me and my, and my buddy Jerry, and he listens to the show. So,
hi, Jerry.
But we were playing this and we got towards the end of the game and I made a horrible maneuver where, so, and the way the game works is you have to choose what you're going to do before anything happens. So there's like a setup phase and you choose what maneuver you're going to pull off. And then after everyone chooses their maneuver, then everybody moves. And you move in a particular order and that kind of thing. I'm not going to get too deep into it, but, I made a bad maneuver where I got to the point where I didn't have either of the TIE fighters in firing arc, which was horrible because I had one more shot and I would have had one of them dead.
Sounds terrible.
It was. So he actually got, and like the senatorship, I'm trying to protect the senatorship. He had 5 shots on the senatorship. And, during that turn, and one more shot and it was dead. So the next turn, we put in our maneuvers and he had one TIE fighter that was literally right behind the senatorship. So I moved the senatorship and he didn't anticipate what my move was correctly. So you can move it like 1 or 2 straight. There's like spaces and you can move 1 or 2 straight. Well, I had been moving 2 straight just to get across the board. Well, I knew it was going to take me 2 more turns to get to the end of the board either way. So I only moved 1 straight and then he moved 2 straight and ran into the ship. And this is one of the rules I'll go over. If you run into the ship, you can't take an action and you can't fire at the ship you're touching. So that TIE fighter was basically removed from my worry. Then he attacked with the other TIE fighter, rolled, you know, he rolled dice to hit. He rolled 2 hits and I get 2 evade dice. So I had to roll 2 evades to dodge it. And I got that. And it was just one of those moments where it's like, you know, whenever you're playing, if you're playing a game and you need something exactly the way you need it to go to get it right. And it just works out that way. And it's just one of those moments where everything was just, it kind of flashed. And I was like, wow, I actually pulled that off. And the ship survived this round I thought there was literally no way it was going to survive. And then the next round started, I moved 2 straight, got off the edge of the board and ended up winning the game. So, and this is just like the most basic, and this is kind of what got me. This was the most basic scenario that this game offers. And it got down to that level of intensity where the last 2 turns, I literally thought I was going to be dead and ended up just working in my favor. So, this just got me more excited about this game because now I can imagine that when you actually put together, like the idea is that all the cards have, all the pilots and everything, they have points and you build points up to X, like, and most, you know, most common is 100 points. So you may have like 5 or 6 ships on the board at any given time. And I could just envision that with how cool it was to play this very, very basic scenario. How much cooler is it going to be to play the more complicated stuff later on? So it really, really got me interested in that game. And that's the only game that I have played of it so far. And I've been itching to play it again. So I'm really hoping that I get an opportunity to play it again. But, yeah, this game's been out for a few years now. And I just recently started looking at it and it's pretty fun. So cool shit, I'm into it. But, yeah, kind of a sidebar. I was joking with Jerry and, with my buddy Eddie, who I work with. And I was like, yeah, I was looking at ways to carry all this stuff around because miniatures, you know, it's kind of a pain in the ass to get them around.
Yeah, sure. And it's not like they make like cases to fit every type of, you know, game or.
Right. You know, and you can get like cases for them. But they're super expensive. It's like they sell aluminum cases with like foam inserts that'll hold X number of ships and they're like $60-$70. And it's like, you know, that's way out of the price range that I'm trying to do for this like casual play of this miniatures game. So I started looking around for solutions to the storage problem with this game. And this guy put up a suggestion, goes to Amazon. I click on it. I go to Amazon. It's a fucking tackle box. Like, okay, fishing tackle box.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I never thought of that. It's like, and I'm looking at it, and if you scroll down, you go like, you know, you go to Amazon, it says often purchased with, and I scroll down to that often purchased with, and there's like two X-Wing expansions listed with this tackle box. And it just kind of made me laugh a little bit, but, I ended up getting that, and it was like $20, and it stores everything, and I have a ton of space for expanding. So that was a wonderful purchase as well. So
very cool.
Yeah. So, yeah, anybody who's been, I doubt there's many people that are looking into playing this game, but I thought it was super fun. And if you're into board games and or miniatures, it's pretty fantastic. I had a lot of fun with it. So there you go.
Very cool.
But that is it for me.
All right. News.
So, let's do some news. I got some quick stuff. You have one, right? So why don't you,
I have a
do
couple.
Yours real quick?
So, Final Fantasy VII Remake, we got that announcement a while back. So, people are pretty hyped about that. People were like, there's no way I'm not going to love this game. It is all positive from here. And then Tetsuya Nomura announced that the combat system is going to be, drastically different.
Good.
And, confirm that the active battle time system is going to be gone from that. And then everybody who loved the remake immediately was, I don't like the way that sounds, but I'm with Chris. Good. Let's evolve it. I don't want to play the same exact game, but prettier. I don't.
And if you go back and actually play that combat now, it's aged and it hasn't aged exactly well. So, you know, I'm happy to hear that they're doing this, and I'm not surprised. I mean, my expectation is that they would either just take the Final Fantasy 15 engine and throw it on there, or maybe they put in something similar to what we saw in 13 as far as the combat is concerned. Now, I did like the materia system, so I hope they keep that.
I think that's a no-brainer for staying in the series.
Yeah. Cause that's kind of what all of 7 is based around.
Yeah.
So.
Even narratively too, it's around like, yeah, you know, finding this holy materia. And everything. So, I mean, it's in the lore of this specific Final Fantasy world. So, I think definitely you're going to see a materia system so far. But think about some sort of Final Fantasy 15 combat system, but you have this vast array of materia that gives you a vast array of powers to utilize in these, you know, real time action situations. To me, that is like amazing. It's absolutely, because one of the things
I like that idea. I do.
One of the things that has died down with the advent of more action focused RPGs, like real time action focused RPGs, is the retardation of the amount of spells and abilities you have. Look at the amount of spells in your magical armory with Final Fantasy, you know, 4, 5, and 6, even 7 or 8. I mean, it's massive amount of things to choose from. And there's so much that you'll go through a game and never use a single spell, or certain spells, ever. I know that's the case for me. I'll stick with my core elementals, maybe some dark to blind them. But I won't mess with too much of it. But then you look at games like, you know, Final Fantasy. Look at the latest Final Fantasy. Look at 13.
Yeah.
You didn't have that many spells. You didn't, because it was a bigger focus on the action-oriented, you know, combat system. More physical attacks and stuff
the spells
like that.
Were there, but it was a situation where
no
they were
way
just
near
kind
as
of...
much. You're like 25% of the spells that were available in the classic Japanese RPGs. If they can take all the different types of materia and the different spells that come with them and add them to an action-based, like a real-time action-based combat system, I am 120% for that. And I think Final Fantasy VII, that world that they created with VII and the subsequent sequels and side stories, I think it'll be great. And I'm really, really hoping they just don't. I mean, obviously they're going to rewrite the script. I really hope they rewrite the script, localize everything to fit with more modern times. But you know, I think they proved. You know, they're not the greatest games in the world, but you know, games like Crisis Core on the PSP. Really, really opened up the lore in the Final Fantasy VII world. And I want to see some new stuff in there. Obviously, there's some iconic scenes we're definitely going to want to see. The Aerith situation, you know, they confirmed that the cross-dressing situation is going to be in there, which is great. I want to see that. It's great. It's one of the most tongue-in-cheek, very, very Japanese story elements in Final Fantasy VII, but it's a very, very charming element to the story that, you know, why the hell would Cloud have to put on a dress? You know, it's fun. It's just good fun. And that's something that especially Final Fantasies have kind of lost over the time as they've gotten more grounded and more serious with their narrative and everything. So I want to see a lot more of that tongue-in-cheek, goofy stuff with this Final Fantasy VII remake. So I'm all for the combat changes. There's nothing controversial so far with Final Fantasy VII for me. So, you want me to go ahead and kill my other news, my news item?
Yeah,
just knock it out real quick. So this actually came out today on August 1st. So there's been some concept art that was released for Jak and Daxter. And Jak and Daxter, if you're not familiar with the IP, it's developed by Naughty Dog. You know, if you love Uncharted and you love The Last of Us, this is kind of where Naughty Dog got their claim to fame, was with the Jak and Daxter series back on the PlayStation. PlayStation 2, right? Was that the first one?
Yeah, on Jak and Daxter, I believe, is on the 2.
It's always been very super deformed, cartoon-like characters ever since the genesis of the series. But people have been up in arms about this concept art because they're very more grounded in reality. We've only seen pictures of Jak. We don't know what Daxter necessarily would look like yet, but Jak looks more humanoid. He looks kind of like a real person, but with just his, you know, trademark long ears, goatee, and, you know, wavy blonde hair. And again, people are not very susceptible to change in the video game world. I don't know. I like it. I think it looks great. And I think this new style for Jak and Daxter, mishmashed with the great work we've seen them do with facial animations, cinematic storytelling with Uncharted and The Last of Us, I think this is a no-brainer to change over the style of Jak. I'm for this. I don't know. Sometimes change is exciting.
I'm not sure how I feel about it.
It's
yet
extremely
or not.
So, interesting, Chris. You should definitely check it
Jak
out.
It's and Daxter.
Concept art. Yeah, it's
concept art.
Yeah,
Jak
it's
and Daxter concept art.
It's really interesting, but yeah, I mean, and I've never been that huge of a Jak and Daxter fan because, you know, I like very stylized look. I mean, I was just playing King's Quest and talking about how much I love this new stylized look to King's Quest, but there's always been something about Jak and Daxter that never got me to stick with the series, and I think the aesthetic style was one of those things that kind of held me back from it. But this new style, if they do kind of follow through with a new game that looks like this, I'd be all for it. And then obviously it's Naughty Dog, so you know they're you know, the way the world looks, you know, the concept art of the cities and towns that they've shown in this concept art package, it looks absolutely stunning. So I have no doubt that Naughty Dog will not be able to emulate this when they put it in an engine. It'll be fantastic. So if it goes this direction, you can count me as pretty interested for sure.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. It definitely is a very different look.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, but this game was canceled anyway, right? So.
Was it canceled? I'm not sure.
Yeah, I thought it was.
Well, put it out. Maybe, and you know, maybe they are releasing it, put it out, see what the general, you know, see what people are saying about it. What, you know, what are people kind of like saying in the comments and forums? Yeah. Maybe if they get enough positive, they'll, you know, re-spark it if it is indeed canceled, so. Yeah, I didn't read anything. I just looked at the pictures. That's just the way I roll, man. It could be canceled as fuck. I don't know.
Cool.
But yeah, but what else you got for news?
So I've got just a few quick things.
Sure.
So, you know, that Nintendo, they've got a...
They're a company.
They're a company. They've got a console. And apparently their console has finally hit 10 million units.
Whoa, so, good job,
that's
Nintendo. You did
good
it.
Good milestone for them.
You were the first ones to ever put a new console out, so good job.
That's right. And meanwhile, the one that came out a year later also said that they've sold 25 million units. So, that just, you know, news flash, the PS4 is selling really well. Let's see, what else? Dragon Quest XI was announced and shown off. And
gorgeous.
It's been announced for PS4 and 3DS, and they mentioned the NX, And then they had to backpedal a little bit. And they're saying it's under consideration now for the NX. So I have to wonder if we just, you know, if we just had our first leaked, game coming for the NX. And then what is it going to look like? Is it going to be like an enhanced 3DS version? Is the NX a portable, or is it a home console and it's going to look like the PS4 one?
Well,
it raises some questions.
For Dragon Quest, they already confirmed that there will be a 3DS version,
right,
for the title, but it's going to have the same exact story elements and everything. It's going to be the same exact thing there, same script and all, but it will be...
It will play different.
It'll play different, but I mean, it's going to be a 3DS game. Like, they're basically creating a brand new 3DS-centric game engine for this.
Yes. It's similar to what they did with Ni no Kuni in
Exactly.
Japan.
Exactly.
In Japan, Ni no Kuni mm-hmm. came out on PS3, and it also came out on DS. Mm-hmm. And the DS game was very different. So
it looked like a DS game.
Yeah, it looked like a DS game. So, yeah. So the question is the if it does come out for the NX, what if the NX is a portable, is it going to be more like the PS4 version or more like the 3DS version updated? So... I don't know. We'll find out. I personally am theorizing that the NX is a...
It's got to be a console.
I don't think so. I think that it's time for them to announce another portable, and it's going to be a portable that you can dock, and it can be played on your TV with a controller. That's what I think.
Okay.
That's what I think.
Okay.
So, just my theory, but we'll find that out. I guess at next E3, maybe. Who knows?
Possibly.
Yep.
Tokyo Game Show in what, September, October, around?
Yeah,
there?
I don't think. I think they said that they were going to talk about it at the next E3 though. So I don't know if I'm wondering if we'll hear anything about it until then. But you know, I think that in reality, if it's a home console, they basically just screwed all the people who have bought Wii U's. That's just my thought though. Cheaters suck.
Yeah, they're all over the place.
Yeah, quitters also suck. People that quit ranked games, and the guys at Psygnosis are is it Psygnosis?
Psyonix.
I get them confused. I'm sorry. The guys at Psyonix who did Rocket League are punishing those who quit on ranked matches, and this is pretty cool. I actually like this idea. So there's a new update that just came out, and one of the things in the update says the first player to abandon a ranked match is now banned from matchmaking for 15 minutes. Now,
that's
a small ban. That's not like a huge, huge thing. But if you're trying to up your rank and you're banned for 15 minutes, I mean, that's a long time to sit there and wait to play another game. So moral of the story, don't fucking quit games in the middle of them.
Be a man.
Dicks. You fuck up, you score your own goal, you score on your own goal, suck it up. Everybody does it. It's okay.
I don't do it. I'm usually goalie, but
that's right. You were usually goalie. Did you score on yourself the other day?
I did. Yeah, I did.
That's all right. I think pretty much like the other when I said that we were all playing together the other night, I'm pretty sure that everybody on that was involved in that party scored on themselves at least once.
It was kind of a clumsy night for everyone.
Yeah.
It wasn't our finest moment.
It wasn't. That's true. No. Let's see. Speaking of cheaters, Destiny is apparently bringing the ban hammer on some of these cheaters.
Big time.
And I have noticed that it seems like there's less laggers in Banner this time around. So good on them for doing that.
It's not just the lagging. The big issue that they were trying to fix were, especially in Trials of Osiris over the weekend, people are they're DDoSing other folks.
Yeah.
And they're straight up DDoSing people and just spamming these people's, you know, IP addresses where it kicks, and especially in Trials of Osiris, it'll kick them out of a match and you can't go back in for the rest of the match, and it's an easy 3-on-2 win for the team who was doing the DDoS attack.
Yeah.
It's an extremely common, I've been hit with it numerous times. It's a pain in the ass. You know, I was once, we were going for 6-0 for our 9-card win. And they DDoSed us. We got a guy knocked out and we were outgunned 3-2. We did end up winning. It was pretty epic. I saved it. I need to share that on YouTube or something. But, we did end up winning. But yeah, they tried to screw us out of our win.
Yeah, that's
shitty. It was pretty shitty. Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, so hopefully that is going to continue, because it does seem like the Crucible has had less people that are disappearing after you shot them in the head 4 times.
Yeah, for sure.
Let's see. So Sony has this wonderful thing called PlayStation Plus and that they give free games out every month.
It's wonderful.
And it is wonderful.
But there's a problem with it. Sometimes you just don't know what's going to be out. You just have to wait until it releases. You know what? I like free games, but sometimes it just stinks. I want to have a say in it, Chris. I want to do something about it. It's a democracy. This is America.
I agree. We should be able to vote.
Yeah.
And that's coming.
What?
So they're saying that that they're going to allow you to vote on a select number of games. So it's not like you're going to be voting for every single game that's out there, but you can, and this is like a quote, to vote on one of several PlayStation 4 games for the upcoming month's instant game collection. And it says, the game with the most votes will automatically be included in our future free game lineup for PlayStation Plus. If your pick didn't make the lineup, don't worry. In the first promotion, PlayStation Plus members can get the runner-ups at a discount. So that's pretty cool.
That's
They're gonna give you a list of games that you can choose from, and whichever one gets the most votes, it's gonna be for free. And then the ones that didn't, the runner-ups are gonna be discounted, which is very, very cool.
Very cool. It's actually kind of taking their PS Plus model and merging it with what Steam does for their Steam sales. You know, every day you can vote for what's going to be the next really big discount on a game, and it'll give you a choice of three, and everybody votes on it, and the winner wins, and the other ones get a little bit of a better discount, but only one gets like the big discount.
Yeah, and I feel like that they've been taking a lot of the good ideas from Steam that they can implement in some sort of way and doing and putting that into some of the things that they do on the PSN store right now. They do the summer sales, they're doing the flash sales once in a while. Some of the flash sales are really good too. So it's nice to see that, and I know that Microsoft is doing it as well, just not at the magnitude that Sony's doing it right now, but I think that with the attention that Sony's getting with it, we will see it from Microsoft as well.
Right. And it was good to institute something like this. I wonder if it was a quickly made decision, like a fresh decision, or it was something they were maybe holding in their back pocket, because Games with Gold has been picking up some serious steam. And they've been recently releasing some pretty significant titles, on a monthly basis for Games with Gold. So I asked myself, you know, is this something that they were kind of like holding in their back pocket until, you know, just in case Games with Gold starting to, you know, pick up a lot of,
I'm not sure if that's really part of it, because they can't turn around and do this too.
Regardless of whether it is or not, they were able to say, at least identify the fact that, hey, Games with Gold is doing a better job now, so we need to up the ante. Let's really, you know, give our user base a little more freedom to choose. And that's huge. That's what gamers want. Gamers want to feel like they have
a say.
A certain amount of say and power.
Because we're a bunch of entitled motherfuckers.
Oh, for sure, for sure. And Sony knows how to make us eat out of the palm of their hands. So good on you, Sony, for knowing your clientele.
No doubt. No doubt. Cool. All right. So speaking of PS Plus, the August downloads are going to be Limbo and Lara Croft and the Temple of Osiris for PS4.
Which, pretty cool.
Yeah. If you haven't played Limbo, you need to play Limbo.
Limbo's great. Most people have played that already. It's just now I get to have it on my PS4, which is cool.
That's right. And Lara Croft and the Temple of Osiris, that's one of the isometric ones. And I hear they're pretty good. So I haven't really played either of them.
That's four player co-op, man. That could be a good time.
Yeah, maybe we should try that.
That could be a really good time.
That could be our next Rocket League.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I don't know.
Let's not go that far.
I don't know.
Sound Shapes and Stealth Inc. 2, and those are actually cross-buy for all three platforms.
Okay.
Sound Shapes is pretty fantastic, I'll say.
Yeah, it's fun. It's good. It's a good little musical game. I mean, a lot of people played it first on the Vita, I believe. And it's a pretty rad little game. It's fun.
Yeah, I played it on the Vita. It was actually, I think it came on PS3 first, if I remember correctly. I'm not 100% sure. I might be wrong about that. But yeah, it is a great game. I played it on PS3 and on Vita, so it's really good. Stealth Incorporated, if you haven't played that, it's pretty fun. I would suggest Vita for that one. And then for PS3, they're going to be doing God of War Ascension and Castle Storm.
Yeah, and that's good. I mean, I'll pop on my PS3, download God of War. I have not played Ascension yet. And I've been so removed from God of War now, I think I would enjoy that one.
Yeah, I have God of War sitting on my shelf wrapped because I found it for $10. So there you have it. But yeah, that's all the news I've got. So did you have any others?
No, that was it, man.
That was it? Cool. All right, well, let's move on to some new releases.
Yeah.
This list is kind of short this week, but it looks like next week we are getting the Rare Replay for Xbox One. So that's big news. I didn't realize that it was coming out so soon. So that's cool. Galaxy, if this is accurate, I just gotta say fucking finally. This is one of those games that was initially shown off, with the PS4, and it's finally coming out. So
was it like a shmup or something like that?
It's kind of shmuppy, yeah. It looks like it is. Shmuppy. So Galaxy, like the Dimensional, and then, the Castle game is coming for PS4, Submerged for PS4. There's a lot of PS4 stuff. I don't know if this is accurate. Transgalactic Tournament for PS4, Boggle for PS4, and Aterno Blade. Aterno Blade. I'm not going to even try. It looks like Aterno Blade, but that's also for PS4. Looks like Etrian Odyssey 2 is also hitting, Etrian Odyssey 2 Untold is also hitting for the 3DS, I think. Let me double check that. Yeah, so that's coming for 3DS next week as well. And that is your new release list. Pick of the week. If it's true, Galaxy for me, so.
Boggle?
Boggle. Maybe? There you go. All right, cool. Let's wrap it up. So next week, we're going to talk about the question of the week that we mentioned last week. You remember what it was, Travis?
Yeah, it was, so far, what has been your current game of the year?
Yeah.
And looking at the titles that are coming up ahead in the holiday season, or even before that, what is the game that you think will top your current game of the year?
Well done, good sir. So yeah, that's your question of the week. You can answer that by sending us an email. That address is email@interactivedistractions.com. You can send us a voicemail as well. That number is 706-760-4337.
Numbers!
You can check us out on Facebook, Google+, Stitcher, and Steam. We are Interactive Distractions. Search for us and you will find us. And check us out on Twitter. We are IndusPodcast or IndusQuestions. And individually, we are IndusChris and IndusTravis.
TRAVIS.
Nice.
You paused. I don't know if you were waiting for something.
No, I was about to say it. Also,
boobs.
Also, Unistrike and Indus Geoff. But that is all I've got. So
that's our show, man.
That is our show. I say,
put a bow on this bitch and play some Rocket League.
Yeah, sounds good. Thank you guys for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, please tell a few friends about us. And if you're on iTunes or Stitcher, please leave us a review. We would appreciate it. So until next time, my name is Chris.
I am Travis.
Play your games, and we'll talk to you next week.
See ya.